To help meet these needs, I have already authorized increases in the size of our armed forces. These increases will come in part from volunteers, in part from selective service, and in part from the National Guard and the Reserve. I have also ordered that military supplies and equipment be obtained at a faster rate. The necessary increases in the size of our armed forces and the additional equipment they must have will cost about $10 billion, and I am asking the Congress to appropriate the amount required. These funds will be used to train men and equip them with tanks, planes, guns, and ships in order to build the strength we need to help assure peace in the world. When we've worked out with other free countries an increased program for our common defense, I shall recommend to the Congress that additional funds be provided for this purpose. This is of great importance. The free nations face a worldwide threat. It must be met with a worldwide defense. The United States and other free nations can multiply their strength by joining with one another in a common effort to provide this defense. This is our best hope for peace. The things we need to do to build up our military defense will require considerable adjustment in our domestic economy. We have a tremendously rich and productive economy, and it is expanding every year. Our job now is to divert to defense purposes more of that tremendous productive capacity, more steel, more aluminum, more of a good many things. Some of the additional production for military purposes can come from making fuller use of plants which are not operating at capacity. But many of our industries are already going full tilt, and until we can add new capacity, some of the resources we need for the national defense will have to be taken from civilian uses. This requires us to take certain steps to make sure that we obtain the things we need for national defense and at the same time guard against inflationary price rises. The steps that are needed now must be taken promptly. In the message which I sent to the Congress today, I described the economic measures which are required at this time. First, we need laws which will ensure prompt and adequate supplies for military and essential civilian use. I have therefore recommended that the Congress give the government power to guide the flow of materials into essential uses, to restrict their use for non-essential purposes, and to prevent the accumulation of unnecessary inventory. Second, we must adopt measures to prevent inflation and to keep our government in a sound financial condition. One of the major causes of inflation is the excessive use of credit. I have recommended that the Congress authorize the government to set limits on installment buying and to curb speculation in agricultural commodities. In the housing field, where government credit is an important factor, I have already directed that credit restraints be applied, and I have recommended that the Congress authorize further control. As an additional safeguard against inflation and to help finance our defense needs, it will be necessary to make substantial increases in taxes. This is a contribution to our national security that every one of us should stand ready to make. As soon as a balanced and fair tax program can be worked out, I shall lay it before the Congress. This tax program will have as a major aim the elimination of profiteering. Third, we should increase the production of goods needed for national defense. We must plan to enlarge our defense production, not just for the immediate future, but for the next several years. This will be primarily a task for our businessmen and workers. However, to help obtain the necessary increases, the government should be authorized to provide certain types of financial assistance to private industry to increase defense production. Our military needs are large, and to meet them will require hard work and steady effort. I know that we can produce what we need if each of us does his part. Each man, each woman, each soldier, each civilian. This is a time for all of us to pitch in and work together. I've been sorry to hear that some people have fallen victims to rumors in the last week or two and have been buying up various things they've heard would be scarce. That is foolish. I say that's foolish. And it's selfish, very selfish, because hoarding results in entirely unnecessary local shortages. Hoarding food is especially foolish. There's plenty of food in this country. I've read that there have been runs on sugar in some cities. That's perfectly ridiculous. We now have more sugar available than ever before. There are ample supplies of our other basic foods also. Now, I sincerely hope that every American housewife will keep this in mind when she does her daily shopping. If I had thought that we were actually threatened by shortages of essential consumer goods, I should have recommended that price control and rationing be immediately instituted. But there's no such threat. We have to fear only those shortages which we ourselves artificially create. Every businessman who is trying to profiteer in time of national danger, and every person who is selfishly trying to get more than his neighbor, is doing just exactly the thing that any enemy of this country would want him to do. If prices should rise unduly because of excessive buying or speculation, I know our people will want the government to take action, and I will not hesitate to recommend rationing and price control. We have the resources to meet our needs. Far more important, the American people are unified in their belief in democratic freedom. We are united in detesting communist slavery. We know that the cost of freedom is high, but we are determined to preserve our freedom, no matter what the cost. I know that our people are willing to do their part to support our soldiers and sailors and airmen who are fighting in Korea. I know that our fighting men can count on each and every one of you. Our country stands before the world as an example of how free men under God can build a community of neighbors working together for the good of all. That is the goal we seek, not only for ourselves, but for all people. We believe that freedom and peace are essential if men are to live as our Creator intended us to live. It is this faith that has guided us in the past, and it is this faith that will fortify us in the stern days ahead.
From the White House in Washington, D.C., you have just heard an address by the President of the United States. This broadcast has come to you through the CBS Department of Public Affairs.